more time travel, more fun. It never ends. It never ends. I don't get tired of these time travel stories. I want it to be real. What's my problem? Now, before we get into this, I just want to say, if you haven't listened to part one of this limited series, Time Travel's Real, What They Aren't Telling You, go back, listen to it. Last episode sets us up for a little more of the theoretical physics around this, a little more of the actual instances of time travel that my alias guest, Layman Weslaw, is whistleblowing about. But also, have you been Mandela affected? You're about to find out. It's episode 200 of Open Loops.
Well, I can prove time travel to you.
Oh,
I think you're ready for it. Okay. I think you're ready for it. And your listeners, some of your listeners, maybe, I don't know. I don't know your listening audience, the size, but if I were able to say this to 300 million or 320 million Americans, whatever, have you ever met anyone? Was there an old person in your neighborhood, an old guy, an old woman in your neighborhood who didn't have a past? Like, they had a past, but I'm saying they had no family, right?
Okay.
Go with this for a minute. Have you ever known anyone in your life that has no family?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, an elderly person. So I don't know where you're at. You're on the East Coast. I mean, I don't know if you want to disclose where you're at, but I'm guessing you're on the East Coast and you live in, like, let's say you lived in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And you know this old person in Brooklyn that you become friends with and you hang out with them and you realize, man, this person is unbelievable. They're amazing. Their ability to remember things and recall and tell you stories and just all this information that they have. And they're 95, 96 years old or 100 years old, and you can't believe their mind is this sharp. And then, you know, they pass away and there's no relatives. There's nobody shows up to do anything. Well, I have news for you. There's a chance. I'm not saying this happens a lot, but if you retire, here's the pay for a time traveler. There's no money. You know what it is?
What?
You get to retire somewhere in the past. So if you want to retire, I know this sounds unbelievable. If you want to retire back in the golden age of cinema or of Hollywood, you'll be set up. You'll travel back. You know, you'll travel back and you can be there.
Wait, what? Really?
You can be there. You can live the rest of your life in that other space-time place, that action that you want to be in. You can be there. Now, you're not going to be best friends with, like, Charlie Chaplin. They're not going to load you up with gold bars. You know,
right,
you're not going to be
right.
Living in Beverly Hills next to, you know, you're not going to know Marilyn Monroe in 1964 or whatever, right? You're not, you know, you might. I don't know. You could. You could jockey your way into their lives somehow. I'm not, you know, but the prerequisites for being a time traveler, we're going to weed out the people that are going to be like killer stalkers for Marilyn Monroe. Kind of, you know what I'm saying here?
Wait a minute. So wait, is this a government program? Is this, I mean, what do you, there is a program for elderly people.
No, this is your payment. This is your payment. Like, if I had been a time traveler, my retirement would allow me to go back, and it's not advisable to go back to the 1800s unless you're just one heck of a person that can, you had to be a hardy person to live in the 1800s, I'm going to tell you right now. But if you want to go back to 1925, Okay, so you retire at age 50 from time traveling, okay? I'm just going to say, let's say 50, okay?
Yeah.
And you're not married. You don't have kids. That's all part of the program. You're not going to time travel and come back home in the evening and hang out with your family. Sorry to tell you, that's not going to happen. So the very fact, if you have a family, you're not, you know, you have a mom and dad and aunts and uncles, I'm sure, but you know what I'm saying? You don't have a spouse. You don't have kids. There's no coming home and saying, oh, kids, I got to tell you this before I die on my deathbed. I'm a time traveler. You know, okay, dad was crazy. What happens is your payment for your service is you're going to go like you, if this was you, you're going to go back to the Hollywood, the heyday of Hollywood, and you're going to get to hang out in that environment for the rest of your life. So average lifespan, 70, 75, whatever, you know, you have 25 years of living in California.
This is if you have worked as a government-approved time traveler.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
There's no unapproved. You know, you're either a time traveler or you're not. And it's either through one of these, I'm not sure, you know, other programs, if they have this perk, but I'm sure they do. I'm almost guaranteed they do. Like, there's no doubt they do.
Okay, so for people listening right now, who are thinking about people in their neighborhood who may or who may not have family, you know, there's a chance that there are I mean, does that just mean that they're making up a cover story for their entire life? You know, you said they had good memories, but they're not memories of the future. If they're in the past, surely that could screw stuff up.
No, they're talking about the past. Oh, no, you're missing the point. So, okay, I'll give you an example.
Yeah. But paint the picture for me.
Nah, I can't use her name. I'm going to come up with a nickname for her. You know, an elderly woman. Give me a nick, Mildred. All right, let's say Mildred. So I've met this person. I've done this. It's the most fun you'll ever have in your entire life to do this. But Mildred, you know, I got to go to this woman's house. Like Mildred time traveled for the program a certain number of years and then they retired. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let's say at age 50. Well, Mildred, thanks to some other conditions of being a time traveler and some benefits of being a time traveler, there's some things that are done for her that she'll live longer than most people. But in this case, my example, this Mildred person, she lived to over 100. But when you went to talk to her, you know, you're talking about a person that got to go back to 19, let's say, first of all, they got to go back and live from one time period. From 19... let's say they went back to 1930s. And by the time you meet Mildred in the 90s, they have all these stories from the 1930s.
Right.
That they're telling you about. So they're real stories. That's real life. They really did live that life from age 50 to 100. They had 50 years of life. So if you were to, like, if you go talk to...
Wait, that's pretty weird. So, but are they, when they travel back, are they still the same age? You're telling me they're 50.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah, they're 50. Yeah, there's no going back on that.
Let's say that. So you're 50. I mean, now, they did say in Montauk that they had these devices that made you regress to your age, the actual physical. So I don't know. That sounds like it's a very
I don't know anything about that.
Painful kind of thing. But okay. So you're 50 in 1990. Then you're done with your service. You go back to 1940.
Right.
And you're still 50 years old.
Right.
So by the time you get to 1990, you're 100.
Right.
Hey, everybody, Greg here. If you like this podcast, actually, you know what? Forget everybody else. I'm talking to you. We're at 200 episodes. It would mean the world if you could let me know and let the podcast algorithm machine know. That's more important. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/openloops to rate the show and leave a review so more people like you, more open-minded, curious types that we need, can get this content. Again, ratethispodcast.com/openloops. Thanks so much for listening. I've loved every second of this. I'm grateful for you. Here is Layman Wessler.
And you don't believe it because you work there and, you know, there's a lot of practical jokers in the time travel business, you know, the business.
Really?
But, yeah. You're in the command center and you're working 12-hour shifts. There's no lunch. There's no breaks. Your break is a bathroom break. Your break is to go grab food that's brought, you know, any food you want is there that's brought in. I mean, you have requests that are filled that, you know, you just go get your food. You use the bath. You're hanging out with three or four other people in this command center. You know, if you're on shift, that you're basically sitting around for 12 hours. You know, you're going to be watching TV, you're going to be listening to the radio whenever you want, you know, you're going to be jerking around with each other playing jokes. So the first time someone turns to you and says, hey, you want to meet a time traveler? And I'm like, yeah, well, who's on today? And I'm like, no, do you want to meet like a really old time traveler? And you're like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Yeah.
And pardon my French. Well, I actually got to meet Mildred. I got to go to Did I say where she was? Did I say what state?
No, you didn't.
No, I thought in my brain I was about to say the state, but I don't have a problem telling you the state because she's dead now. I went to her funeral, which is weird. She was 100 and lived in Ohio. And, you know, her car in the garage was a pristine 1964 Cadillac, white with blue trim convertible. Okay.
Okay.
That was in pristine condition. I mean, it had, she literally only drove it to church and back, which was a joke. I mean, which is hilarious because I already told you time travelers aren't fixed on a religion or have family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so this woman went back, she retired. She went back to a certain year. I won't tell you, but you can guess based on the car. She bought a car. She never touched it. I don't know how she went anywhere, right? I don't know how she got groceries. But as she aged, you know, she found relatives. She inserted herself into their lives, no doubt. She had, without getting too complicated, she literally had a relative that cared, you know, about her. And you know, I met this woman and I spent time with this woman. She was fascinating. She could tell you everything about the original living through the time period that, you know, she was living through that. She lived through the time period, you know, firsthand. You know, she spent years, not like any other time traveler. That's the benefit of being the time traveler. That we'll never have. I'll never have. I have other benefits that, you know, but I'd give anything to be able to live. Like you said, you want to go back to the Hollywood days. I'd love to go back to the 1880s. There's no way I'd live out west.
Why didn't you? Did they look at you and say, hey, look, you're not cut out to be a time traveler? Did you not want to? I mean, what was the process there?
Well, okay. So, oh yeah, I left out my personal life. You know, when I started in the program at the actual, I was based out of Norfolk and I was married. And I couldn't explain to my family thought I worked for a utility industry, you know? So I had a family, you know, I had a wife but now I had no kids. And then not to go too far into it with me, I got divorced. And no, I mean, I was going to have a family. I was going to find someone else later that right. I would remarry, you know. And that was my, but I didn't qualify to be a time traveler. There's specific people they're looking for that go through extreme amounts of pre-testing and testing to determine if they would make a good candidate. A lot of it's psychological. The closest thing you'll come to a time traveler is if you've ever met an astronaut and been friends with an astronaut. Because, the, you know, can you imagine how serious they are, how dedicated they are, that kind of thing, you know. But with the premise that you can never have any relationships. So it's almost like being given the choice. You can be a time traveler.
Or you can have a family, really.
Or you can have a life. It's really, you can have a life. So wow. The point is, though, well, wait a minute. I just got done telling you, you get to have a life.
Right.
The problem is it doesn't start until you're 50. I almost said 1950. That's hilarious. You don't get a life till 1950.
Right.
That's
right.
The joke, you know. Hey, you know, we knew someone was going to retire, you know. And if they even talked about it, it was happening even earlier. You know, if you know the guy that you work with that says, oh, I can't wait to retire in 10 years. Well, if you're a time traveler and you say that, you're pretty much done. You're finished. Because do you know how risky? I mean, you don't get to control where you go. You don't sit in the box and turn dials. It's not H.G. Wells. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a crew of people. And it's not like, what's that? I love that time traveler show. It's a TV show that had the, they went back and, it was on TV, you know. There's been some really good time traveler shows recently in the last 5 years on, you know, on all those platforms. Anyway, there's some that are really good. And when you watch those shows, it starts making you think, you know, wow, I'd like to be a time traveler. But would you, if you knew you couldn't have, like, I always knew I wanted to someday be married and have a child or two, you know, have a family and, right. And you know, because you do get to keep your parents. There's no like you're going to disappear. Your parents are never going to see you. But are you the type of person that can go at Thanksgiving and hang out with your parents? You know, if you were to hang out with a time traveler just for even a half hour and hear their stories, it's enough to fill like 10 books, it feels like, because they're like, you know, I was at Thanksgiving and my uncle was fighting with me about something in history and it took everything I had not to say, well, I was there, gosh darn it, you know, I'm cleaning that up. But I, you know, could you imagine?
No, of course.
I was there. What are you talking about? You know, and I'm not saying the Kennedy, you know, I'm not saying the Kennedy assassination or the Lincoln assassination, like we've heard, you know, I'm not doubting that happened. I'm like, but that's not, I mean, I'm not talking about a time travel that went back to that. But, you know, I will tell you this, the Titanic, the Hindenburg, all that stuff's been changed. I mean, doesn't it feel like there were more people that died on the Hindenburg?
Yeah.
And you know how many people survived on the Titanic now?
How many?
I don't know, but there's more that survived now, in my opinion. So I'm going to tell you right now, are you Mandela affected?
Am I Mandela?
That's a personal question, but do you remember, was it Christopher Reeves or Christopher Reeve?
Oh, I thought it was Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't know how old you are, but I will tell. How about Sally Fields?
Whoa.
Is she Sally Field or Sally Fields?
That's a good question. Sally Fields. Wait a minute. What is it?
No, she's never been Sally Fields in this reality. Guess what she is? Sally Field. Guess where her brother works?
Oh, my gosh.
At the Hadron Collider. Google it. It's true. No doubt. Okay. All right. Here, you ready? I can tell you, I'm telling you right now, you're Mandela affected. So here's something I got to ask you. Four score and 7 years ago, 4 score and 7 years ago, our blank brought forth in this continent a new nation. What did they say? What's the word missing there? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh gosh, I don't even. I never had to learn this.
Was it grandfathers or was it forefathers?
Oh, I mean, I think people. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, forefathers, right?
Yeah.
No, it's never been forefathers.
Or was it?
Yeah. So guess what? It's no longer forefathers. Where did I ever hear the word forefathers other than the Gettysburg Address? I'm telling you right now, the jokesters at the Collider with their 9.9 billion degrees of heat that they've generated, they've made some changes that would be, you know, an impact. Now I'm going to tell you straight out, if you were to mix time travel with parallel universes, which is what I'm hinting at, you could screw some things up. You could, you know, certain people could be affected. And I call it, are you Mandela affected? And I start with simple questions that, you know,
yeah.
The one that bugs, you know, not to go off on the away from time travel to Mandela, but Mandela we could do sometime. But like, I'll never forget Stouffer's stovetop dressing. It's not Stouffer's anymore.
What?
No, it's never been Stouffer's stovetop. It's Kraft stovetop dressing. Yeah. So guess what that means? Is that a parallel Mandela effect? Or is it, now that you know time travel's real, is it somebody? I mean, you can't go back. And could you go back in time and tell the guy at Stouffer's who was thinking about doing an expansion away from lasagna to other products? Could you go tell that guy, hey, I don't think dressing is the way to go. You know, that's ridiculous, dude. Stay focused on lasagna.
Yeah.
Then boom. You know someone's going to do it at some point. That's the whole thing about time travel. Just because you didn't do it doesn't mean it won't be done. So if you go back and knock out Adolf Hitler, there's another German guy that's going to do the action of Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler's gone. Why is that? Why will someone take the spot? Is that just the law of the universe?
That is the balance that all things happen at the same time. It's already happened. All right, here it is. Are you old enough to remember 33 Records?
No, I don't know it.
Records. I mean, you know.
I know what records are. I know. Yeah. I mean, I know Tower Records. Though I didn't always think it was Tower of Records. So that kind of.
We're on everything you know about everything, and everything that's ever been known and everything that will be known is on 133 Record. Picture that in your mind. It's a 33 record.
Okay. Yes.
So now all you have to do is pick the needle up and move it wherever you want to play whatever song you want to play. So my point is, you're not going to change the song. You pick up the needle and you move it back before that song. It's still going to catch up and it's going to play that song. That album, that record is, it's hard fast. It's done. It's set. It's done. You don't know how the album ends. You don't know how that song ends even necessarily, you know? Well, you know how the song ends, but you don't know what the next song is. You don't know how the song after that is. You don't even know how close you are to the end of the album.
Yeah.
That's time travel. So if Adolf Hitler's taken out, you still got somebody else. I'm not saying we haven't tested this necessarily that I know of, but what I know, you know.
They have. They've been messing around. But wait a minute. Who are then, if you are the people that are watching time travel and doing stuff, messing around with people, who's watching you? I mean, that's a big power to have, to be able to cause Mandela effects.
Oh, yeah, but Mandela effects, are they what the Mandela people see? You know, it's so funny. The Mandela people, I hang out with the, I was looking at all the Mandela stuff, you know, for a long time. Cause I tell you right now, Ford, the logo for Ford was his signature. Doesn't it make sense that it's a signed name, Ford? It's a signature. The logo is basically a signature.
Yeah.
But it's not his signature anymore. But in my world, in my reality, it used to be his signature. So, but who cares? What does it matter? So people say, well, Mandela effect, that's all. You're just having, you have a bad memory. But no one stops to think, how is it that a billion of us have the exact same wrong memory just on that item, but we don't have the wrong memory because there's no Mandela for Cheerios. You know what I mean? Like right now. But guess what? 2 weeks from now, 2 hours from now, 2 minutes from now, Cheerios could be something else. And all of a sudden, I remember Cheerios, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, no, you have a bad memory. Well, there's a million people that have the exact same bad memory. So how could that be time travel? It's not, right? It has to be just certain people that are affected.
Hmm. So wait, so what are you saying here? Are you saying people are messing with it? Or are you saying that certain people are on different timelines simultaneously? I mean, what can we take from this?
Yeah, I don't know how it was caused, but I believe we're on different timelines. I know my medical condition occurred in 2014, 2015. And I think if the way to do it is to research people who are Mandela affected, bring them all together and do serious research, find out what their common denominator is. Were they all, like, I had a near-death experience, okay, that was coincidentally, like, I would have died if some things hadn't happened. Like, if I hadn't overreacted to a condition I was going through, if I hadn't overreacted and went to an emergency room, and then they started looking for that answer, and they found my real problem, what, you know, a real problem with me, I would have been dead within 3 months. So that means I had a near death experience. So I talked to other people that are Mandela affected, like, let's say you are, and I say, did anything happen to you in 2000, whatever? And you're like, oh yeah, I was in a car accident. Okay. Well, there you go. That's a near death. Or, you know, maybe you went camping and a bear showed up, but they didn't hurt you, but you didn't even get attacked, but you know, the potential, you could have died. Right.
Right.
So that's your near death. Maybe that's, you know, but no one takes it seriously because the moment you say Mandela, it's a joke. So if I were to say time travel and Mandela are related, it's a joke. No one's going to research it. So it's a moot point, but yet I waste time on it. We all waste time.
But we spent the last 20 minutes talking about it. I mean, there's no way this is, I'm trying to read the between the lines here.
I think they've changed things. Yeah. I think things have changed. I don't know if someone, now it could be a retired type situation that I've talked about. Could someone, because, you know, who's watching those people, you know, they're in the past. How are you going to keep them from changing things?
That's the thing I would worry about. That's why this retirement plan idea seems a little silly. You know, if they're dropped right? off in the past, then who knows
but
what
is
could
it
happen.
Silly? Yeah, but it would prove, because what if you're a time traveler and no one, let's say you did decide to come out and say it's real, you know? So then you got a guy that's saying, well, yeah, you don't believe it. You know, Mildred didn't say anything to me. Okay, she didn't do this. She died. You know, we were friends. We stayed in contact. She died. And then I went to her funeral. Saddest funeral. Because I knew her whole life, you know. And people only knew her for 40, 50 years. The people that knew her, you know. Which was a long time. But, you know, if you look at people that are in the retirement, yeah, it's a bad idea. But how are you going to compensate a person for giving up everything?
Right.
Money doesn't mean anything. I mean, if I said, here's $1 billion, but every person you know or care about has to go away and you'll never see them again. like I'm putting you in witness protection, you know. What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to say, I don't want the $1 billion. You keep your stupid money, you know. I want my wife and kids, or I want my, you know, my best friend. You know what I mean? I want my fishing buddies. I'm not going to give that up. So you're asking people to give up their entire life for no compensation. So you got to let them retire that way. It's been debated, I'm sure. Not by me. I've never been involved. But a bunch of us have said, what if someone retires and they screw things up? Well, they're still under the honor system that's set up with this, that, you know, I mean, if they get caught, they're not going to be around, you know?
Yeah. So. But wait a minute. What about this idea that you said that, for the audience listening to inquire about those people, that it would be proof, of somebody that is up there in their, you know, 90s, close to 100. I mean, how could they ever know? Are you saying, hey, nudge that person a little bit, see if they've been part of a government program? Because if you're not, then they could just be a regular older person.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't want your listeners to assume any weird loner older person is a time traveler. But if one of them were to say to you, hey, you know, I used to be part of a program. I mean, I would hope people would listen to them. But even then, you know, Mildred tells me and I go home and tell my wife, you know, which I wouldn't. But, you know, if I were a normal person, I'm saying, if I were a person that didn't know and I went home and said, Mildred said that she's from an old time travel program. What's the first thing you're going to do with Mildred is you're going to call the relative that they've hooked up with again, and you're going to put Mildred in a home.
That's a great point.
Mildred's losing reality. So is she really losing reality? No. So I'm just trying to put this out there to people. I'll never be able to prove time travel to you unless you met me in person.
What? Now, what would happen if I met you in person? Is it because you'd take me to show me something, or?
Well, you know, I didn't go into our benefits as an ex-employee. You know things before they happen, or you know, I have this innate ability to pick up collectibles of certain time periods, and I have certain things there are benefits that go beyond
government healthcare.
I'm a big Lindbergh fan, you know, Charles Lindbergh.
Yeah.
By the way, did they ever find the baby?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. The really? Way I remember it, they never did. They found the baby dead in a ditch like 6 or 7 days later now. But that never happened. But okay.
Oh my gosh. I am Mandela affected. I feel there's something wrong with me now.
Yeah, you are Mandela affected, but I have the original printing plates of the celebration cards that they used to, you know, to print his like celebration of his route going across the Atlantic and stuff. I have the original printing plates, and how do I have that? You know, there's some benefits. I have documents from England from the 1600s that are pristine condition. So, you know, you can gather up millions of dollars worth of collectibles and antiques and things like that, that you can help your family when you're gone, you know?
So wait a minute, did somebody, since you didn't travel yourself, did somebody go get them for you and bring them back? Is that how that works?
Oh, that would probably be unethical. That'd be very unethical. But, you know, who watched,
but then, you know? Wait a minute. It does sound unethical. So,
everything's recorded, you know, right? But when's the last time, you know, every gas station has recordings, right? And every time traveling location would have, you know, 24/7 recordings of everything that's going on, right? So they would catch you. Well, only if they're looking for it, you know? Like, you don't go pull tape at the Sunoco unless there's a robbery, you know? Or there's been a report of a robbery.
How did you get these items? This is what I am wondering.
Oh, intelligent wage, you know, souvenirs, you know, people bring you souvenirs.
Okay.
People give you things. So I could prove there are some things I have little, you know, I've been able to prove some things. I have family members that,
do they know all this?
No. I mean, not all of them, but I have a few that know. And come on, you're just what? Yeah, what are you talking about? Well, they don't do that anymore.
Why is that? How'd you prove?
But they're also, well, you know, if the guy comes from 2050, you know, you're either a psychic or, you know, you're just really good at reading society and figuring out what would happen, right? You know,
you're telling me right now that a guy from 2050 has come visited you and your family, or just you and you?
Oh,
you...
No. I mean, you know, the facility is the facility. That facility is still there. That facility is never going away. Ley lines don't move. You know, they're there forever. You get what I'm saying here?
Okay.
Yeah. To unearth an entire, I will tell you, the Denver airport, you know, yes, that is so important to all these conspiracies about aliens and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you straight out, the Denver airport's more about time travel than it is, but it's more about maintenance of the ley lines that are underneath the ground than it is about aliens. You know, the alien cover is such a good cover. You know, if you alien up everything, then people stop listening. Everybody laughs. Oh my God, I'm not going to listen to that. You can, people will stop listening. You alien everything up, people stop listening. So, but now Norfolk is still there. And no one's going to time travel to my home, because my home's not on even one of the sub ley lines that have been created in the, you know, since the 90s or so. But I, but people will come, you know, there's been time travelers from the future that have come back and they have told things to upper, you know, if you work in a large organization or a small organization, you hear rumors about some, you know, someone comes from another part of the company and you hear there's going to be a layoff somewhere. The guy that's, you know, people that are doing the layoffs aren't going to come and tell everybody, hey, there's going to be layoffs. But you hear the secretary tells the other person and tells this person, and it gets around, you know what I mean? Especially if everyone's only allowed to talk to each other and never outside that organization, you know, like I can't talk to anyone that ever worked with me.
Hmm.
Mainly because I don't know their names. I know Red. Who the heck's Red? How do I find Red? I'll never find Red unless he's listening. And then what? Red's going to reach out to you? Well, right. I'm just going to tell you straight out. If Red reaches out to you, I don't believe it and I don't want to hear from Red. You see what I'm saying? Because that's a trick. You're going to have every nut job in the world that's not Red getting a hold of you. You get what I'm saying? But so we don't know each other outside the organization because, you know, Mary, the secretary. No, there's no Mary. First of all, there were no secretaries, you know, there were no male secretaries, female secretaries. It was, you know, so there are benefits. And if you do get a souvenir, it's not breaking protocol. If someone brings something from the past, is meaningless as like salt shakers. See what I'm saying?
But what about the future? Do you have items from the future?
Oh, no. I mean, they could technically leave something. Yeah, I mean, you could leave something from the future. But there is a situation with that. Have you seen the coin from the Nazi coin in Mexico?
I've heard of that, yes. Now, a lot of people just dismiss that as a hoax.
Is it? You know, you would have thought they'd have cleaned the coin up. I know it ruins the value, but if they clean the coin up so you can see the date really well, then it would be believable. But guess what? Movie props. That's all you have to say. Movie props. Hollywood. Someone made that. It's a Hollywood prop. You know, people can make fake stuff. So there you go. So how do you prove it with that kind of stuff? See, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of that, like, who's the next LeBron James? You know, if the guy from 2050 could tell me, well, who's the next LeBron James so I can buy their rookie card? Well, you know, that time traveler, he's not, maybe he's not into that, you know.
I'm really trying to suss this out here. I mean, this is such an, oh my gosh, my brain is getting twisted left and right here, but I love it. So very clearly you're telling me that you had an encounter with, or you heard of somebody who showed up from 2050. They predicted the way things were going to happen and they did.
Well, yeah. I mean, someone did come from the future back to the, you know, they interloped into our system by, let's call it, they landed in our time period. I'm not saying they landed at Norfolk, because I remember there's Area 51, mm-hmm. and there's Norfolk, and I worked at both. You know, I already gave that up, because I did tell you I worked at Area 51 from 92 to 2011, but then I screwed up later and told you I was in Norfolk too. So it's out there. It's fine. But
can people go to these places? Tell me this. If they go to, is there any trace of underground military or just weirdness around Norfolk where you were?
Oh, okay. Now, there are underground ley line tunnels throughout the United States, and they are used for transportation as the cover. So if you had to go underground in Washington to evacuate the president to to NORAD, let's say, it wouldn't be unreasonable to believe that there's like a subway type system that allows the president to go to NORAD, right? Let's say, I'm not saying I know this is true, but I know for a fact there are tunnels, and there's one way to know. It's been broadcast. There was video footage of the opening in Arkansas for years out there. Some people that are listening right now will know what I'm talking about, where a person actually drove into the tunnels in Arkansas. And they can see the military vehicles, and they can see. So what are military vehicles doing in this part of Arkansas that was in those videos? It would be very simple for the, I mean, it may not exist anymore. You know, those videos are maybe washed out, because I'm going to tell you straight out, Google, they say everything that happens online stays forever. No, that's not true. Stuff is, it's as easy as Google finding what you're talking about and deleting it. Yeah, it's more than one computer. It's a billion computers maybe, but it's still, here's a video, let's get rid of it, you know? So I'm saying there is proof. You can find, there's the tunnels in Arkansas that look like the, what you would picture for NORAD. There's trucks, there's, you know, 53 foot semi trucks going into these tunnels, and there's video of it. I mean, I saw it.
And what's weird about that is that nobody, there shouldn't be, that there's not any reason for any military presence to be there. It's an anomaly. In other words, people in the area really have no idea why there would be military vehicles in these tunnels. Is that what you're saying here?
Well, yeah. Why were 20 or 30 trucks going into this? They literally use, if you haven't seen the video, I don't think you've seen the video.
I haven't.
The video shows these people just going right in. You know, there's so much misinformation that's given out there. These tunnels, you know, there's been talks of these tunnels for years. I mean, no doubt there's underwater tunnels from the Pacific to the ranch that the Navy had underground tunnels that allowed ships and submarines, initially submarines only, and then all you have to do is, you know, they widen the tunnels out enough and high enough to allow larger naval ships in that can go in inland, you know. But that's, and everyone has to stop thinking about terms of money too. If it can be imagined, it can be done, and it doesn't cost anything. I mean, there's no cost involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying people, but when you're printing the money, I print extra and here's your pay. You know, I print money, here you go. You know, it's like, it's Monopoly. I just go buy another Monopoly set. You know, here's your money. You know, and so these tunnels exist. There's no doubt. Like I said, the proof is the one in Arkansas. At least some of your listeners are going to know what I'm talking about, the older ones. Because I'm going to tell you straight out, younger people now, it's filtered. Everything is filtered out. None of this stuff stays on YouTube anymore. It's gone. If it's some proof, it's gone. And I noticed that after I retired, that a ton of stuff was gone from YouTube. And YouTube said it was because of, if, you know, they had that policy a couple of years ago where they got rid of all the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
Why? Those are the number one things people want to hear and see. It's fiction, right? It's just a conspiracy. And I don't mean the dangerous stuff like, you know, elections and things necessarily. I'm saying stuff like, oh, we've never been to the moon. Okay. Who does that hurt? If I say we've never been to the moon, who does that really hurt? Just the stock on McDonnell Douglas just went down because some guy, you know, who's somewhere in the United States said there's no moon landing. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, Tang, they're not going to sell any more Tang because of that. No, it's like, who cares? That drove so many people to YouTube, the whole conspiracy thing, the Bigfoot. Why is Bigfoot still on YouTube? You know, we can talk about that, you know, but.
Is there a Bigfoot connection here too, to what you're doing?
No, not to time travel, but definitely to the alien thing. No. We can talk about Bigfoot someday. I mean,
wait, do you know, I mean, this is a whole nother fringe circuit of the government, it sounds like. I mean, we've heard about psychic testing. They were doing that forever. MK Ultra. But I mean, there's already so much here with time travel. Tell me this, you've seen it. What was the first time you actually witnessed somebody traveling through time? What did you describe it for me?
Okay, this is great. I was hoping we'd get to this. So, like I said, I started there in 92. And I would say first couple of weeks, I was, like you said, you know, I was engaged in learning my part in the process. And I was invited maybe the third, fourth week in to the actual area where the box is. Now I'm going to explain the box real quick.
Yeah,
the box
please.
Is not a rectangle or a box or anything. It's not square. It's not rectangle. It is the closest thing I can come to it is, you know, the Acorn ship that we've all heard about in Pennsylvania that crashed. It, honest to goodness, it reminded me of the bell. If you saw that piece of paper, I sent you earlier this evening, a piece of paper with my drawings, which are terrible. On one side, you see a little guy sitting in there?
Yeah. That's what I thought might be the box.
Okay, so now, I don't know how it was in 1938, but it's different. In 1938, it was totally different from what I've heard. But in 1992, what I saw was those of us who were spectators were in a part where we were, you know, I couldn't have ran and jumped in. You know, I was behind it. I was in the viewing area, if you will.
Right.
So a person comes out and they're wearing period clothing for where they're going. So in my first situation, this guy comes out and he is dressed like he's got a beard. He's shaggy. He's dirty. Honest to goodness, he looked dirty. You know, I don't know if it was makeup. You know, I didn't know the guy at the time. He came out. It looks like your traditional Hollywood cowboy kind of, but like, oh, I'm like a miner. You know what I'm saying? Like a miner. This guy, believe it or not, was he was leaving to go back to the 1800s. I believe it was 1871. And I see this guy get in there. They load in saddle. I am not kidding. They put a saddle in this machine. It's basically picture like around like a UFO looking. It's like more like a bell with a door on one side. And
Is it similar to the Nazi device that they had, the
it
bell?
It was. It looked like that. You know, it had that, and it had, but the different, it had a honeycomb. It wasn't round, smooth. It was a honeycomb that the rounded part of it was honeycomb. And, but it wasn't like a ball. And it wasn't completely, it was more like it had a lip on one side. I don't know why. I never knew why that was but there was a door there, and basically he went in, they loaded in supplies. They gave him, gold, and I'm sure there was like a leather pouch. Everything was very authentic to the period. So if you can imagine, it was really like, I didn't know what I was seeing other than I was told I was going to see the action, time travel action is what they'd always call it, action. And he went in, he sat down. I never did understand. I never got an explanation why. I think it's more about motion sickness. I'm not sure, but the fact that he was, I don't want to say you're compressed, but he sat there. They closed it. You couldn't see, couldn't see him anymore. Obviously he was inside. And at the designated time, he was launched, and it vaporized. And then I would say 5 seconds later, it was back, like it reappeared, and they opened it. He came out, his beard was longer. I think he had been gone like several months. And I never actually got to talk to him and find out anything about him.
So you're saying the entire machine itself disappeared. It wasn't just the person in the machine.
Oh, no. Yeah, the whole machine is it's in the machine. There's a core, the core of the machine. There's basically a ring of like. A magnetic coil. Interlaced magnetic coils on the outer part of this machine that. The electromagnetic energy, it basically, I didn't really explain that when it goes away, it's almost like popping a balloon. You know how you don't really see the rubber anymore, but yeah. There's maybe little fragments of rubber when you bust a balloon. You could see energy particles, and I don't mean like litter or, it wasn't that dramatic. It was, like what was beyond this machine, you could see like a wave, like a rainy. It's like a little, like it was rain. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, but I really, it's very, it put a thing in your stomach. It made you queasy. It really felt like it like exploded, but it wasn't an explosion. You didn't feel anything. There was no, and the thing is, there's no sound. Absolutely no sound.
Were you shocked when you saw this? I mean, you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my stomach, the pit of my stomach. It just had I don't. And it wasn't like it was like I was queasy. I don't know. And
did you have to do? Was there cognitive dissonance? Did you go, no, wait, this is a magic trick. This isn't real. This is, or did you just know immediately? Yeah, I saw what I saw. This is time travel.
I had the first. First of many, well, not really many. I had an uncontrolled, spontaneous. I said something spontaneously, like I've never blurted out anything twice. I've only done it twice in my entire life, and the first time was with this situation, where I blurted out, I uncontrollably, I was amazed. I was just like, I didn't think it was a magic trick. I thought this is a part of me felt like it was really scary.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't, I did ask, did I really see that happen? But when I cussed and then I said, did I really see that happen, in my brain? Cause I was embarrassed that I cussed, I just blurted out this cuss word, I was embarrassed, And I saw another time. I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're messing with me, but after I retired, I had a child. I didn't have it. My wife had a child. You get what I mean?
Yes.
And the first time I saw him, that was a screw up. First time I saw my child, I blurted out spontaneously. And I know what I said. I don't want to say it here, but because if I tell you what I said, that's going to be another episode. But it blew my mind that, you know, to see it, the time travel, I'm sure everyone, they told me everyone has a different reaction, you know, but when I was told I was going to go in and see this, they're like, this is not a joke. You need to be, you know, be professional and be serious. Cause I was a jokester to a point, you know, and, I'll be honest. I kind of wanted to laugh when I saw the guy, you know, cause he's like, come on. He looks like a guy from Nevada or like a miner,
right.
And I'm thinking, wait, what was it? 1871, 1872 or whatever, you know? And I was like, that's hilarious. And I really wanted to talk to the guy, but as soon as he came back, he was fine. He came out. We left, you know, we left that area, and I'll be honest. I talked to the other people I was working with, and about 2 weeks after that, I was in there myself in the actual command center, actively engaged in doing what I need to do with energy to help make action happen for other people. So I would say, you know, on a shift, we could go 2 or 3 days with no action at all. And then, you'd come into work. You know, I told you you're 12 hours on, 12 hours off, but you're like a fireman. You're in the facility the whole time. You're in there for a couple months. Okay.
Yeah.
So my family thought I worked for a utility. And then because if I had come from the military, which some of our people in our command center were ex-military, the ex-military guys that came from the Navy, you know what they told their family?
What?
Was that they were on duty, you know, they were still in the Navy. Like the command center people, some of them were pulled from the Navy. Some of the really bright Navy people that we had, they were ex, you know, nuclear submarine, because some of our best energy people came from the nuclear side, or, you know, came from submarines and some other technology that, those guys, they just told their family, they literally stayed on base, like in the facility for 3 months at a time. Or we had one guy that was there 6 months, 6 months on, 6 months off. And I thought he was crazy. And, because can you imagine being away from everybody for 6 months? You know, my role was, I was there for 4 weeks, 2 weeks days, 2 weeks and nights. And you work 12 hour shifts. You work 5 12s. You're off two.
Is that by design? Is that because they want to inflict any kind of psychological torture on you? Or, I mean, why 12? That's crazy.
It's really not. And I'll tell you what, I work an 8 hour day now. I'd much rather go back to 12 hours.
Why is that?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. You get, you know, if you're literally doing what we were doing, which a lot of mine was monitoring systems between actions. There was a lot of monitoring because the energy fields are maintained constant. They don't turn this on and off. This is there. Right. Okay. These are coils. I wouldn't call them Tesla coils. I mean, they're based on a lot of the information that was gathered after his, I wanted to say after his passing, but not as much. the information he was sharing. Do you know when Tesla died?
I don't know the year, but I know the story around taking the papers from the hotel room in New York City. Right.
Very sad, right? Because he was a lonely old man with no family.
Interesting.
There was rumors that he had actually time traveled, but not to go off the beaten path here. a lot of his theories on his coil, the coils that I'm talking about, there were, I tried to draw it in the thing, but man, it's terrible. So anybody that wants to really understand how weird a world we live in, just literally spend 2 or 3 hours. I mean, no one's going to spend 2 or 3 hours doing this, but if you have the patience to spend even 1 hour, look into how does electricity get formed? How is it generated? First of all, inside a generator. Okay. And that's fine. Once you see that information, everybody, that's pretty easy to understand. So, you know, the diagrams are pretty thorough. But when you start getting to where energy is stepped down to the local area, try to reason within your mind how coils of copper can create, you know, magnetic properties applied against copper coils, let's say metal coils, create an energy field that then gets transferred to a wire that then goes to people's homes and to things like that. And basically, think in terms of that, how simple that seems, because it's around us everywhere. We take it for granted. This is a highly concentrated coil that's electromagnetic inside the shell of this box, as we called it, this machine. And all the details inside, I'm not privy to, as far as, like, I couldn't draw you a diagram of every, you know, I couldn't draw, even if I was a great artist, I couldn't draw a highly detailed picture, because there's things inside there that are above my pay grade, excuse me, that came from Tesla. And this is even prior to him. This was used prior to his death. And I have no doubt he didn't die. He did not die a sad, lonely man in a hotel room. I have no doubt he did. I do believe he retired. There's no doubt in my mind he retired. And you can take that for however you want to take it. But I like to think he retired to a past.
And
that was always the joke around the command center when I was there. So this device, though, this machine, it didn't make any noise. I mean, you could hear electric. You could hear like a buzz, but it wasn't like anything. I don't want to say it was like a buzz. Like, you didn't have to wear protection for your ears or anything, but I mean, you really couldn't tell if you were in the room. You could know it was going on. There was a buzz, but it wasn't even as loud as a microwave. It was like, you know, on TVs back in the day, old tube TVs, when you turned it off, if you ran your hand across the front and it had that static sound, that's what it sounded like. But take it down to like 1/10 of its original, because that wasn't even really loud. You could tell there was something going on, but then, you know, it wasn't on very long until it vaporizes. So it's not like you're going to hear it for very long. Okay. But inside that honeycomb shell, that device converted all matter inside it was a circular field. It was round. And if you know anything about nature, the honeycomb thing is the perfect for strength. That had nothing to do with the roundness, because inside this device, it was round. The natural, most best, everything goes to round, you know, atoms, electron, everything, protons, well, not protons, but, you know, it turned everything into light energy, but it happened so fast. It would be like the sun blowing up, but backwards, you know, it was like, it's gone. And that is then transferred into, I want to say the floor, because where this was held, I should draw that and send you that. I can draw the floor.
Really, and this is above a ley line.
It's on a ley line. Yeah, it's actually on across of two ley lines that are amplified with energy from one of the largest nuclear systems at the time. By the 90s, the nuclear, okay, I'll be honest, nuclear, everyone in this country could have nuclear energy at their house, a portable nuclear energy box at their house right now. If those who are in charge would allow, but they won't.
What would the benefit of that be? Just free energy?
To you and me, it'd be free energy, basically. But, I mean, there's still nuclear. There would be problems. I mean, a house burns down every once in a while, you know. So you'd have to have cut off. I mean, it would be expensive, but it would still work. Even if they did neighborhood nuclear, it would be fine. You know, one of these small boxes could run six or seven houses, a normal house. So, but in the 90s, you're talking, it was still a very large system underneath that was amplifying the energy of the ley lines. So I know for a fact that the size of it, by the time, so I worked those double shift, the 2 week, the two on, two off, I worked that shift for 7 years. For 7 years I did that. And in those 7 years, I personally saw the reactor cores reduced from, like, you have these nuclear plants all around the country that have these rods they're changing out.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if any of that's true. Like, if you look into it, find out how many people, like the Cook nuclear plants, one of the larger Cook nuclear plants, really large nuclear plant near Chicago. It's northern Indiana. They bring in 1,300 to 1,700 people to change out the core rods. Does that make sense? Hmm. What are we talking about? No, I mean, even what are all those people doing? Why would you need that many people?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have that many people on paper, then you could justify paying what you got to pay to do what you're doing, right? But They do outages at nuclear plants every 3 to 4 to 7 years, right? Why is that? I have no idea, because what I'm telling you now is these cores, they're self-contained now. They're five cores to a pack, basically, not a pack. Picture the old rods hold, like, would be the equivalent of 25 rods. Now, so they're 25 more powerful by the time. By the time the 90s happened, like 1999, I would say 2000 time period, I went into the generation part of it more. The cores had come down to, like, they were 1/25 of what their original size was. So you can imagine how much space was underneath, right? So then that's when the whole idea of the Hadron Collider, I don't know which time travel part decided to go that path. But instead of using nuclear, they decide to use collider energy, basically. If you look into that, they just beat the record for the hottest. Their collision, they created a 9.9 billion degree explosion, if you will. You see what I mean? How do you contain that? Has anyone ever thought, how would you contain something that's 700 times more hot than the sun? How would you confine? What material are you using to confine that? Well, the only way you could be doing it is if they're using a much larger version of the device that we were using. And instead of people, they're doing a collision inside. I don't know if it's a longer mechanism where it comes into and they can close it real quick and seal it before it gets to the point where it explodes. And then where are they sending that energy? I mean, so that's how the Hadron Collider combines with all this. It's a different program, but by the 99, the energy core was so small compared to what it used to be. And then at the same time, the more energy we were able to create was allowing amplification of the frequencies to allow shorter distances between jumps. So you could basically, the higher the energy goes, then the faster the oscillation of the energy field, I guess. I'd put it that way. So.
So for plain English, I'm trying to figure this out. So for people that have no idea what you're talking about, basically what you're, how would you sum it up to, I sorry to go 5-year old Greg on you, but I have to know, you're saying this Hadron Collider, which I guess the idea was, we were told it was to actually see if they could, I don't know, split an atom, right? Without causing, they were trying to get down to the atomic level and without causing a nuclear explosion, releasing a bomb, they wanted to kind of get under the root of all matter and atoms. And I remember when this was happening, they said that they were going to potentially, by having this thing, blow up the entire world. They said the galaxy, that was the fear campaign. They said, hey, do you know what they're doing over there? There's a chance that tomorrow, once they do this, everything could just explode. We could all die. This might be our last day on Earth. I remember thinking of that. I think it was around 2008. 2008, I think it was 2008 when there was that. And I remember because one of my friends in college said, honestly, that's fine. I've had enough of this life. Oh my gosh. But yes, yeah. But what you're saying is, nah. If they have that much energy, there's something involving time travel.
Well, yeah, they were looking for the God particle. Now, there's not to say there's not other things going on. No, I mean, you don't build a facility that size. So, you think in atomic terms. That collider, the ring, how big is that ring? You know, it's like 37 miles, right? Or, or you know what I mean? 18 miles, 37, maybe 37 miles. And that's just one trip around. So, wait a minute. An atom is super, super small. Why would you need so much distance? And how are they, the big question is, how do they bombard particles that creates energy. So instead of splitting an atom, like nuclear is supposed to be, they're hitting atoms together. They're putting particles together. They're smashing particles together. They're colliding and they're generating a God particle or other particles. And these other particles are quantum particles and other things. And they have opened, the only way to contain, I'm going off on the fact that I have no doubt they're doing those things too, but they are, how do they confine 9.9 billion degrees? Look it up. It's out there. They broke it like in 2019, 2020, you know, it's recent, 9.9 billion versus the 5.1 billion record they had before. First of all, why are you generating that much energy? You got to ask, why would they be doing that? Looking for the particle, sure, the God particle. But why is 9.9 better than the 5.1 billion? You know what I mean? Does that mean there's more particles showing up? Well, I'm saying the Hadron Collider, the particle is the excuse for having it.
Mm-hmm.
The actual use is time travel.
Now, how do you know? What do you think is, I mean, I guess you're just kind of basing it off of your experience, but are there any other things? Have you heard any slip-ups, any missions that you know that they're trying to accomplish? Is this part of that big secret you were saying Seth MacFarlane knows all about?
No, the big secret has nothing to do with that either. The big secret is...
I'm just trying to create the show that I would want to listen to. That's all. Yeah. How many cliffhangers can you get away with? I'll keep doing it. How did American Idol get to 25 plus seasons? I hope I'm doing better than Brian Seacrest. Anyways, will Greg be self-confident by episode 300? I'll leave that loop open too. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music of this thing. I want to thank Zero Boy for the pre-theme music. I want to thank my guest, Layman Wetzlaw. And you, dear listener, dear looper, thanks for entertaining the absurd truth Does that mean what I'm saying is that this is the truth? Does that mean I'm saying that truthfully everything I've ever talked about and had guests on is absurd? Oh, I'm gonna do another cliffhanger arc. Yeah.